Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Okay, all right. Clearing my throat here, folks. Thank you. I'm clearing my throat here. I don't know why. Every time I seem as though I'm at the microphone here, I got to clear my throat. I know some of you guys hear that, so I want to apologize. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, WTTY, on Blog Talk Radio, the Wilder Network. I used to call it that, but it's not that. But, you know, you got to try to advertise yourself. Anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, another day. this is the night, actually. It's 6:02, straight up Chicago time, Central Standard Time, 347-857-1762. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter. I'm all over the place. I'm even on Microsoft. I think Microsoft, Google, Facebook. I mean, I think these corporations, call them corporations, I think they run the internet. I mean, Microsoft is buying up everything, and Google is buying up everything. Totally, Facebook already bought LinkedIn, I believe Yahoo. So I'm all over the place, folks. Anyway, the weather is great here in Chicago. It's great. It doesn't feel like fall. It feels like, you know, a typical summer day. It's getting cooler, though, but it's still, from what I'm hearing, it's unseasonable. But we're not going to complain. We're going to enjoy it. Today is Wednesday the 19th. This is the night of the third debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. The third debate, and I think... Matter of fact, I probably know that the media is more giddy on this than, you know, the American public. I mean, they are the ones who are looking so forward to this debate. And that's getting a lot of a lot of us excited about it. But, you know, have you ever thought about what this election, what the children, the kids think about this election and these two candidates? You ever thought about that? Do you think either one of these candidates, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, you think they are role models? But if you ask some of the kids, if you talk to some of the children who are smart, intelligent, and bright, if you talk to some of these kids who are following this election, they will tell you, no, neither one of these candidates are role models. They are, and I'm not a kid, but I totally agree with them. These are some smart kids, and they're following this. They would say no. They would say, no, these people are not. They are saying this, you know, they are saying this. Because they're learning from this, and they cannot look up to these two people because, you know, lies, hate, racism, bullying is something that they themselves have been taught by their teachers and their own parents not to do, and how to look out for people who are bullies, and to see a bully on the national stage on television, 80 to 100,000 people watching, including children. Children are following this. And you have to tell yourself, I mean, even the kids are saying this is not right. These candidates are not right. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't think Clinton is all that qualified to be president either. But if I had to put both of these candidates side by side and evaluate, I would probably say Hillary is a little bit more qualified than Donald Trump, maybe a lot more. If you listen to some of Donald Trump's rhetoric, some things that he say are total ridiculous. And this is coming out of the mouth of a lot of our children. And you got these two supposedly professional politicians on a world stage vying for the world's highest office. And the children around America are saying, this is not right. Their teachers, their professors are saying this is not right because they don't condone racism. They don't condone liars. They don't condone bad behavior. And this bad behavior, according to some of these children, are perpetrated by adults who they are supposed to be looking up to, adults who are supposed to be role models for those kids who are coming up. They will be the next generation. They're coming up. They're looking at all of this because they're coming up. You know, long after I'm dead, Hillary's gone and Donald Trump is gone and everybody else is gone, these kids are going to be coming up. And what they see now, they are so damn disappointed in what they're seeing. You know, they are so disappointed. And that's a good thing because that tells me that they are totally bright because a lot of us adults are disappointed in what we're seeing. Do I think Donald Trump is a role model? No way. And I don't think Donald Trump actually cares about being a role model. He doesn't give two dams about being a role model. He doesn't care what the children think. He doesn't care what the teachers and the college professors think about his behavior, his lies, his, you know, bashing of women, which he himself said that sometimes take place, kissing women without their knowledge or even if he cares, touching them and, you know, grabbing them and on their body parts, you know. So this does have an effect on children. And I don't, like I said before, I don't think Donald Trump gives two dams about this. Donald Trump cares about Donald Trump. Donald Trump wants to be president of the United States. Right now, he knows he can't be president of the United States. And tonight's debate, the third debate, I mean, he really needs a win. He needs a game changer. And if he acts the way he's normally acts, if he acts the way America expects him to act, he's going to lose this. He's going to lose a third debate. Even if he wins this, I don't think he's going to. But let's just say if Donald Trump really comes out tonight or in the debate, which is held tonight, if he comes out in the debate, you know, and he wins it somehow, that would still give Hillary Clinton an edge because she has two debates under her belt and Donald only has one. So that's 2-1. So she still comes out the winner. But I'm getting ahead of myself because actually at this point, at this time, And on this day, the debate hasn't started. They're talking about it. Their moderators are talking leading up to the debate. I think it's going to be 8 o'clock Chicago time, I believe. But anyway, it'll be after I get off the show, after the show is over. But let's get back to the children. The children are totally disappointed in this. I mean, I've seen children who are being interviewed, who were being interviewed and who are being interviewed, asking them, what do they think about Donald Trump? I mean, I have even asked my son, what do you think about Donald Trump? I've asked other people, hey, what do you think about Donald Trump? And it's always a disappointment. It's always a disappointment. Children are, especially kids who don't have a father figure or even a mother at home, and they want to learn as much as they can so they can be successful in life. So a lot of these kids are looking at these debates. They're looking at the candidates, and they are very disappointed. That totally very disappointed. But what do you say to them? What do you say to kids who are disappointed and looking at two professional people who have all the money in the world, but they bullying each other, shouting at each other? Basically, it's Donald Trump. But it's going on both sides. And in politics in general, it's nasty. It's totally nasty. They're listening to Trump on tape, multiple tapes, abusing and saying obnoxious things about women. He's done it, although he's been denying it, but he's denying saying what he said even on tape. I didn't say that, but that's your voice, Donald. That wasn't me. You've admitted it. I lied. It wasn't me. So I'm going to do probably a whole segment on this. What are the children learning from this election, this current election? And I don't think they're learning much or anything. If I wanted to say this, I would say that maybe they're learning not to be a bully. They're learning not that lying is not going to get you anywhere, not even to the White House. You know, Hillary Clinton, I mean, she's got her demons. I'm not going to say anything about Bill Clinton and his accusers, because I don't think that has any bearing on anything. I think that's just something Trump just threw in there, hoping to try to, you know, conjure up more votes, and it didn't work. It didn't work. So I'm not going to even say that, you know. But bullying on national television in front of a national audience, including children, is just unacceptable. Clinton, like I said, Clinton has her problems. I mean, with these emails, she should have known as a politician right from the get-go not to use a private server when she's doing public work. Not to use a private email. I mean, she's even apologized for that. She felt that she was wrong. But still in all, the Republicans, they're never going to let this thing go. John McCain already talking about if Hillary Clinton wins, he's going to block her Supreme Court nomination. Even before she even wins the election, he's going to block it. This is why I've said, if you're going to vote Democrat, vote straight ticket. But let's get back to the children here. And that's awful. That is awful. Even my son said the same thing. They're bullies. They just, I don't know what to say, but that's something I don't want to be. When you're talking to kids, sometimes when you're talking to a kid, you're on stage, you're a public speaker, and you're talking to kids, basically what you're telling them, and they're sitting out there in the auditorium, they're sitting and watching you, listening to you. You may talk to them about many things, but one of the things you're going to come up with, you're going to say, kids, you can be anything you want to be. You can even be president of the United States. You can be secretary. You can be secretary of state. You can be a congressman. You can be a senator. And they believe you because it's true. But when they see these kinds of people on television, bullying each other, lying, talking about women body parts, you know, hate drilled rallies, hate field rallies. I'm sorry. I mean, what are they thinking? These kids today, they're very, very smart. They're smart, they're intelligent, and they're looking to make something of them lives and of their lives. And they're looking at people like us, the adults, to try to, some people they can try to get to know and hopefully give them some pointers on the direction that they themselves want to take, want to go. But something like this, Donald Trump, it's just, he's unprecedented. He has taken this election, in my thinking, has taken this election to the lowest of the low, and he can't get any lower because he keeps taking it there. And it's having a profound effect on the children. And that's what bothers me. This is having a profound effect on those kids who are paying plenty of attention to this election, all three debates, and coming away with saying, I don't want any parts of it. But now we have to go back and tell these children, do not give up your dream if you want to be in politics. We have to tell them that Donald Trump was just a drip in the bucket. We have to convince them that that's the type of person that you should not be. I'm pretty sure that in some of these bullying seminars that they're going to be giving more and more of in high school and grammar school, I'm pretty sure they're going to be using Donald Trump as an example. He's going to be used as an example in every damn workplace. They're giving these seminars, these talks, these town hall meetings. He's going to be used as the subject of a bully, you know, and he probably knows that, but he doesn't care. And don't think Donald Trump is going to sue anybody, because he's not going to sue anybody. Because if he was going to sue someone, he'd have done it years ago. He wouldn't, because there's one thing. If you're going to sue somebody, you never talk about suing someone. You never let them know that you're going to sue them. You just up and sue them. You just up. The next thing you know, they look around, they're being sued. You know, he talks about suing people. So when someone talks about suing people, they're not going to sue anybody. If you're going to sue somebody, shut up and sue them, right? All right. He's a bad. Wow. He is a bad role model. And this is coming from the children of America, not from me, not from anyone. This is coming from the mouths of kids. Donald Trump is a bad role model. In some cases, Hillary Clinton is a bad role model. And we adults are going to have to work on that. We adults are going to have to work on that, because just like I just got through saying, children, kids, they are looking up to adults, especially adults they deem successful, because they want to be successful as they grow. But I don't think nobody wants to be Donald Trump. Nobody wants to be Hillary Clinton, because these two people have a lot of baggage. You know, so the kids are, in my mind, they are on target. They are spot on the way they feel. And we as Americans, we as people of the United States, we've got to raise our children not to be like Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is a 70-year-old bully. It's funny because, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to think bullies were just kids in school, in grammar school, maybe in high school. I didn't think that there were adult bullies. I didn't know that. I didn't know that until I started working in the workplace and finding out that your supervisor can be a bully, your manager can be a bully, even some of the coworkers who work closely can be bullies. You know, anybody can be a bully. You know, there's no statute of limitations on being a bully, as Donald Trump knows. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We've been talking about the effects of the election on children, and it's having a big one. And like I said before, I don't think Donald Trump cares. about it because he's been bullying on national television. He bullied all through the campaign with, remember, a year or so ago, he was on stage with 17 other rivals for the office of President of the United States. He bullied every one of them. And he's bullying one over, but this time I don't think his bullying is going to lead him to the White House. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I want to bring this in. This has just been thrown across my desk. Derrick Rose, not guilty of rape. Wow, we're going to talk about that as soon as we get back. We're going to take a break right here. Thank you.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago, and we are helping to make the world a better place, one show at a time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for finding the show, downloading the show, and just having a great time. Here we go.
My son has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
All right. Derrick Rose cleared of all wrongdoing in rape case. The jury took less than 4 hours to reach its decision verdict in the $21 million civil lawsuit. So that's it. I was pulling for Derrick Rose, and I'm glad that he was found not guilty. And that's great. That took a lot off the minds of his fans, because Derrick Rose is from Chicago. He used to be a Chicago Bull. He was once a resident of the Inglewood community, treacherous, homicidal community, crime-ridden community. He lifted himself up, and basketball was his calling. So he's now with the New York. He's now with the New York. And he's been acquitted. He's been proved that this was a lie. Okay, a federal jury in Los Angeles ruled Wednesday in favor of Derrick Rose and co-defendants Ryan Allen and Randall Hampton over allegations they raped one of the New York Knicks guard former partners in the summer of 2013. This was 3 years ago. Okay. The eighth member jury, which reportedly took less than 4 hours to reach its decision, cleared the three men of all charges relating to the $21 million lawsuit. Wow. In other words, folks, this was about money. This was all about money because my understanding is that she was on drugs. Okay, here's a photograph of Rose and I guess his lawyers, and they're smiling because of this verdict saying that he wasn't guilty of this and that this was all about money. The decision concluded the two-week civil court trial against Rose and his co-defendants, in which the accuser alleged that the three friends gang raped her while she was intoxicated on the night of August 27, 2013. The defense did not dispute that the three men had sex with her that night, instead arguing that the woman was cognizant of at the time and the sex was consensual. That means that she knew what she was talking about. I mean, even if she was on drugs or she was drunk, which they were saying, she knew about the sex and it was consensual with three people. She had sex with three guys. As Derrick Rose rose in fame and playing for the National Basketball League, she thought she could get some money because, you know, he's rich now. And she thought she can get some money. She probably was put up to, most of the time, these women are put up to do things like this by some guy, you know. And I was rooting for Derrick Rose. I think we all were, because this is not the first time women have tried to sue popular ball players, popular sports figures for money. And this is not the first time it has been thrown out of court. There is no doubt about it. If you're a sports figure, if you're a popular sports figure, women are going to come after you. They're going to throw themselves after you. I mean, it happens all the time. I remember Castro. They went after him. I mean, they tried to sue him for money. You know, and because and then they have sex. And then after you have sex, someone accuse you of raping them because then they're going to sue you. So women do throw themselves after ball players, football players, baseball players, basketball players. They throw themselves after these famous players, these rich players, because they want a bit of the money. You know, I mean, Wilt Chamberlain, they say he screwed over 2,000 women, you know, because he's a basketball player. I mean, he wouldn't have screwed over two. The women threw himself. He didn't go after them. The women came after him. You know, so this happens in basketball. This happens not too long ago. One of the Chicago Blackhawks, some woman was trying to sue him for rape. And the judge threw that out. It's all about money. And so I'm not belittling sexual harassment. I'm just saying that, you know, majority of the time or some of the times, it's not true. And I've said this a lot of times to people, especially guys, you don't have to sexual harass a woman to get in bed with her. Majority of the time, the woman will consent. If you try to sexual harass her or come on to her and she doesn't want it, you know, that's a no-no. But if it's consensual and then suddenly she says it's rape, you know, then you got another problem there. But anyway, Derrick Rose not guilty of rape, and that's a good thing. I mean, he is all giddy, and I'm pretty sure his fans is, and Chicago is. So go Derrick Rose. However, there's no doubt about it. The prosecutor's saying that him and his friends were just out for hot sex or something, but they lost. The judge didn't see it that way. The jury didn't see it that way. And I'm all for Derrick Rose, because if he had been found guilty, he would have been walking out of that courtroom in handcuffs. But instead, he walked out of that courtroom in the hands of his lawyer and gotten into his SUV. So we will see him playing for the New York Knicks. Good luck to Derrick Rose, and congratulations to Derrick Rose. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We will take a musical break, and folks, and we will be right back. All right, back on the show, George Wilder Jr. Okay, the third debate is tonight. And the only thing, one of the things, most important thing for both those candidates to do in this third debate, and that is to look presidential. You know, Donald Trump, I don't think, looked presidential in either the last two debates, in my opinion. He did not look president. Clinton, She pulled it off. And that's one of the things that they can do in this third debate. And I think Donald Trump has the most to lose. Not Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump has the most to lose, because this guy is so damn down in the polls, he has to look up at them. You know, he is so down. So he has more to lose in this third debate. He has to have a win tonight, or he's gone, or he's gone anyway, but he has to do a good job. He cannot be interrupting Clinton while she's talking. He cannot be following her around the stage, hovering over her. That was scary. But he has to have a big moment. I mean, he can't be screaming. He can't be hollering. He can't be sounding incoherent. He can't seem to be bullying her, because that's really going to turn viewers off. He has to look presidential. He has to sound like a statesman. He has to talk about issues and policies. He has to talk about what he's going to do for the people of the United States, what he's going to do for America. He can't always appear to be attacking Hillary Clinton, because most people who see him attacking or bullying her is going to think that he's doing it because she's simply a woman, And he has to be on his P's and Q's. He has to be different. He cannot be the Donald Trump that everybody knows. He just about has to transform, and he has to deliver. He has to deliver, because some of his arch supporters are leaving Donald Trump. I mean, he just called Condoleezza Rice a bitch. I mean, and Condoleezza Rice came back to say, hey, wow, if he's calling me a bitch, he's calling every woman out there a bitch. So Donald has to be, and Hillary's going to address this tonight, I think. Donald has to come off being presidential. He has, like I said, he has more to lose than Hillary Clinton. She's far in the, she's far ahead in the polls. He's down in the polls. So he has to, you know, not only appeal to his base, but he's got to bring votes in. He has to win votes. You know, he has to win more votes than what he already has. You know, he needs a women's vote. He needs African-American vote. He needs the Latino vote, the Hispanic vote. He needs votes. You know, so he has to be different. They want to see a different Donald Trump. Can he do this? Can Donald Trump be a different Donald Trump? No. No, he can't. Donald Trump, folks, is Donald Trump. What you see is what you get. What you hear is what you hear. Donald Trump cannot stop being Donald Trump. This is why I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's going to lose this election tonight, because he's going to come out bashing, thrashing, bullying, being a buffoon, interrupting, and he's not going to give a damn who's listening or who cares. This is Donald Trump. Donald Trump is saying, I'm Donald Trump. Donald Trump is used to people kissing his ass. He's used to people, you know, bowing down to him like he's some sort of king. He's used to that. Even though he doesn't pay his federal taxes, he bashes and slashes and says rotten things about women. And that's one of the things I don't understand. All these women who are voting for Donald Trump, who are defending him, how could they do that? You know, I mean, he doesn't think much of you. He doesn't think much of you, if anything. He doesn't, but they are out there defending him for some reason. And they know all about what he said, it's just boy talk. They're finding some excuse to say, I'm voting for Donald Trump. Donald Trump is my guy. Okay, all right, if you want to suck his toes, then you go right ahead. But I'm going to tell you something. If Donald Trump gets into that office, he's going to work against you. He's going to work against every interest that you have, and he's going to spit on you. He just might spit on you, even though you've given him your vote. Donald Trump is not trustworthy. He's thin-skinned. He doesn't keep his word. He changed his mind. He changes his mind on everything. That he'll say something one day, then the next day he'll say, or the next hour he'll say something different and say he didn't say what he just said a moment ago. You never know where Donald Trump is going to come from when you're talking to him. You never know. But one thing for sure, he loves women. Donald Trump loved women. And he loves good-looking, beautiful women, gorgeous women. So if you're overweight, you're not in the gorgeous department. Donald Trump is not with you. He will talk about you. He will insult you. I mean, he has insulted so many women. It's a damn shame. And then a reporter will ask him about it, and he'll deny it when he's on tape saying it. So generally, I think Donald Trump is going to fail. If he winds up pulling this off, great. Then I'll say, hey, George, you were wrong. Until then, you know, I'm going to say this. I think Donald Trump is going to blow this tonight for himself. I think, you know, the people are just going to, you know, I feel sorry for Donald Trump's surrogates, because they have to go around to these television shows, talk show hosts, these talk shows, and answer and try to defend Donald Trump as something that he's said or something that he's done. And a lot of them seem like they just get flushed. I'm so tired of defending that damn Donald Trump. I don't know what to do. But Donald Trump is paying them, so they have a job to do. But anyway, getting back to the debate tonight, I think he's going to lose it. I mean, Donald Trump is Donald Trump. You know, he's going to lose it. And it should be a good spirited debate. If Donald Trump comes off being a bully, we know that that's what he is.
So this past weekend, Hillary Clinton took a lot of heat for a comment that she made about Donald Trump's supporters when she referred to, you know, about half of them as being part of what she called a basket of deplorables. Now, politically speaking, bad move by Hillary Clinton. Factually speaking, could not have been more accurate. First of all, the quote, as usual, was pretty much taken out of context because when she was talking about the basket of deplorables, she mentioned that these were the racists, the bigots, the homophobes, the sexists, the misogynists. She did list the kind of people she was talking about, and yes, those kinds of people are absolutely abhorrent. And then she talked about the other basket that's not filled with racists and horrible people, just people who are fed up with being taken advantage of by corporations, by the government, the anti-establishment folks that are not violent, they're not horrible, they're just people that want to see some change. That's the part that got left out. But when you look at the fact, and I know she's come out and apologized for this, I really wish she hadn't. This was a strong statement, it was a true statement, and she should have stood by it. But when you look at the facts and you look at who supports Donald Trump, you see that Hillary Clinton was absolutely right. Look at this. 65% of Donald Trump supporters think that President Barack Obama is a Muslim. 59% believe that he was not born in the United States. 31% say that we should ban homosexuals from entering the United States. 16% believe that whites are a superior race. Those are the people that support Donald Trump, but the New York Times goes a step further and lists out the other folks. 80% of likely Trump voters supported Trump's proposed ban on Muslims. 62% supported creating a national database of Muslims, and 40% supported shutting down mosques in the United States. 38% said they wish the South had won the Civil War. 33% thought the practice of Islam should be illegal in the United States. 32% supported the policy of Japanese internment during World War II. These are Donald Trump supporters. They are white supremacists who do believe that white is a superior race and that anyone who is not a heterosexual white man needs to be controlled somehow by the government, perhaps not allowed in this country, perhaps not allowed to practice their religion, or maybe we just round them up, put them in special places where nobody can see, touch, or hear them. That is what Donald Trump supporters believe. They truly are a basket of deplorables. At this point, it's really not even a basket. It's more of, you know, a huge giant container, maybe several baskets. That's the only problem I have with Hillary Clinton making this statement, is that she didn't go big enough. Donald Trump supporters are absolutely disgusting. And again, probably not a good political move by Hillary to say this, but that doesn't make her statement not true.
New national CNN poll out for the presidency. Now, Donald Trump, it's almost not fair. The guy's, there's never been a train wreck of this proportion in history. A ham sandwich would be killing this guy in the polls. Am I right? I mean, anybody can run against this guy, but whoa! Hillary Clinton losing to Donald Trump in a national poll. Now, whether that's within the margin of error or if it's this, that, and they didn't ask the question, that is pathetic. Donald Trump, as close to a legitimate clown as we've ever had. He's got the orange hair and the orange face, and he's a maniac and a clown. He's psychotic. He's bankrupt every time he starts a business.
He couldn't make money with a casino.
Couldn't make money with a casino. He's been prosecuted for being a racist, him and his father, for being racists. Couldn't offend. There isn't a group in America left besides white racists he hasn't offended. You're still losing to him. Think about that, what the Democrats did to America. Instead of giving a candidate that people like Bernie said, they forced this down our throat. You know why? Because they don't care about beating Trump as much as they care about keeping the status quo. Here's another reason why maybe she's losing in the polls, because people can't stand her. And we see right through her. Here, look at this. This is from the statements that best describe Hillary Clinton. She has the personality and temperament to serve. Only 42% of America says that. So 6 out of 10 people say she doesn't have the personality or temperament to serve. Does she care about people like you? 2 out of 10 people believe that. 2 out of 10. I'm going to guess the upper 20% of income earners. She shares your values. Again, 2 out of 10 people says 2 out of 10. She shares their values. Honest and trustworthy, 1 in 10. 9 out of 10 people say she's not trustworthy or honest. 9 out of 10 people. And these are the people that the left-wing media is singing her praises, defending her every corrupt move. They can't defend her enough. Paul Krugman can't write enough columns about what a great woman she is. 9 out of 10 people don't trust her. So maybe that's why you picked a horrible candidate. And we were screaming it to people. We were screaming it to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. We were screaming it to Joan Walsh. We were screaming it to Rachel Maddow. We were screaming it to everybody at MSNBC and CNN. We were screaming it. And the New York Times. Hey, she's a horrible candidate. Nobody liked her back in 2008. Guess what? She got her ass kicked by a black guy with a Muslim name. We rejected her then. What do you think? Why would we want her? Things are only worse now. One guy says, here's a guy named Amir online. He says, note to the Democrats, when you insult voters by denying fair primaries, they probably won't like it. Yes, yeah, so it's come out that her and the Democratic Party were in collusion to screw over a real progressive for somebody with Republican policy positions. Not even Democrat. She's pro-fracking. She's pro-TPP. She's pro the Exxon pipeline. She's for more deregulation of Wall Street. She's a warmonger. She's not a Democrat. She's not what we consider Democrat. But the Democratic Party, more interested in power than actually beating Donald Trump, rammed her down our throat, which we now know. It was revealed in WikiLeaks. It was revealed. Here's it. And here's what I found this. I don't know who made this. When voting for Hillary after she steals the nomination from your candidate, it's like watching McDonald's worker spit in your sandwich and eating it anyway. But they don't need our votes. Hillary Clinton isn't coming to get my vote anyway. She's not coming after environmentalists. She's not coming after anti-war people or peace wing of her party. She's not coming after us. She's not coming after people who want economic justice, who want to re-regulate Wall Street, who want to break up. She's not coming after us. She knows she's going after Jeb Bush voters. She's going after them. She's not coming after us. She's not coming after Jill Stein voters. And she's losing. This her strategy of going after Republicans is a loser. Let's remember, when the people are presented with a Republican or someone who sounds like a Republican, they choose the Republican every time. Why do people not like her? Why is she losing to Donald Trump in a national poll right now? Why? I'll tell you why. It's not like the Democrats don't know it. They're just hoping that everybody has amnesia. The Democrats know why. Here's Barack Obama telling you why. And then someone juxtaposed it with Barack Obama from today. And you can see that their strategy for winning an election is lying to their own voters. Ready?
I just have to remind people of the track record. If you want someone with a lifelong track record. Now, this is Senator Clinton. This is the same person who has taken more money from lobbyists than any other candidate, Democratic or Republican, of fighting for higher wages and better benefits and a fairer tax code and a bigger voice for workers and stronger regulations on Wall Street.
See, that's bull. And we all know that's bull. Except he stands up there and says it full-throated with a grin on his face like he can snow us. But we're not being snowed anymore. We see through it. We see through it. You, Barack, you're pushing the TPP with all your might, which is against everybody in your party, everybody on your base, all fair-minded economists. You're going against everybody because you're in the pocket of corporations, and we all see through it. We see through that. You say, because we heard what you said in 2008. We heard what you said because you're saying then what we're all saying now and have been saying ever since. Doing something with our lives. So the Democrat strategy is to hope that everybody has amnesia.
This is the same person who took money from financial folks on Wall Street and then voted for a bankruptcy bill that makes it harder for folks right here in Pennsylvania to get a fair shake. Then you should vote for Hillary Clinton. This is the same person who spent a decade with her husband campaigning for NAFTA and now goes around saying how she was opposed to NAFTA.
She's got specific ideas to invest in new jobs, to help workers share in their company's profits.
This is the same person who says she's voting for the Columbia trade deal. Turns out that her top advisor, her top strategist, was working for the Colombian government to get the bill passed.
There has never been a man or a woman, not me, not Bill, nobody, more qualified than Hillary Clinton to serve as president of the United States of America.
So America knows. That's the problem. You keep thinking, oh, we'll have a new commercial strategy. We're going to have a marketing strategy where we pretend that all the stuff that America knows, they don't know anymore. And we'll pretend that she's actually going to help people who are struggling when she's not. She already backtracked on $15 minimum wage. She already washed her hands of that, even though it's in the platform. This is called lipstick on a pig. This is window dressing on shit. That's what this is. We know who Hillary Clinton is. Everybody does. That's why she can't get past 50%. She can't beat Donald Trump. A woman, the first woman, can't. You should be ashamed. The Democrats should be ashamed of themselves. But they're not. Because it's all about money. They don't care. Guys like Paul Krugman, who can't write enough bullshit articles in defense of this garbage.
All right. The Cubs, the Chicago Cubs, they also are playing tonight. This is their second game in the second round of the playoffs, the pennant, push for the pennant, second round of the playoffs, and they are down two games. And a lot of the fans are panicking. I mean, I said yesterday on the show, if you listen to the show yesterday, I mean, I was all in the Chicago Cubs corner. I mean, for them to win, for them to go to the series. But now it looks like they may not. they've lost. They've been shut out two straight games. The Dodgers have just been blasting them. And you wonder, why is the Chicago Cubs, why are the bats failing the Chicago Cubs? Why can't they hit? Their best hitter on the team, he's not hitting. I mean, they've won over 100 games during the regular season. They can't seem to. This is probably the worst I've seen the Cubs in all season. They just can't seem to hit. They have no offense. Plenty of good pitching, probably, but there's no offense. I mean, yesterday they lost. Well, there was no offense yesterday because they lost 6-0. So there was no offense, and there was no defense and no offense in yesterday's game. And you know, if they go down three, if they lose three games in a row, then it's really gonna be tough for them to try to come back. Because I think this is the best of seven. So they've lost two already in the second round of the playoffs. They lose two more, they're out of it. They're out of it. But you know what? Even if, let's say if the Cubs don't make it to the World Series, it's not going to be the end of the world, because these guys they've been so good, so great, so talented all through 2016 during the baseball season. You just cannot thumb your nose at them if they do not make it to the World Series. I mean, I don't know what's happening. I don't know why they're not hitting. But so far, they're not hitting. Tonight, they may start. The bats may start working for them. But until then, they can't afford to lose, because if they lose, the fans are going to go berserk. I mean, they don't know. But, you know, I'm saying here that even if they do not make it to the World Series, they are still a great, great team, especially for the city of Chicago. They've won over 100 regular season games. That should tell you enough right there. But we want to see them go to the World Series. We want to see this. I want to see it. The city should see this. You know, we all want to be a part of it. But if they just lost it, if the air just didn't went out, you know, what can we say? But tonight we are going to find out. This is their third round. They're going to play the third game of the second round of the playoffs, facing the LA Dodgers. And I would probably say for some of the fans out there, Chicago fans, Cubs fans around the United States, pray. If you want to see the Cubs go to the, make it to the World Series, pray. It can happen. It can happen. They're a great team. They're a great young team. And one of the things I always tell people, and I always mention on this show, that you can be anything you want to be, even a great baseball player like one of the current Cubs. You know, the way they are playing, this team is magnificent. Do you think anybody on this team, this current Cubs team, do you think that they listen to those people who are telling them that they could not make it? No, they didn't. I'm pretty sure there were people. Some of these guys on this team were probably approached by a lot of people, some people, friends, that they weren't going to make it. They weren't good enough. And they got proved them wrong. And now they are in the playoffs. And you don't have to be a baseball player or that mean, you know, I mean, you don't have to be at the income level that these guys are. But I guess what I'm saying is, live your dreams. You can be anything you want to be. Live your dreams. But you got to put some effort in. If you want to be great, if you want to be successful, you got to put some effort in it. You can't just sit around and just mope around and hoping somebody knock on your door and say, hey, wow, I'm going to give you a six-figure job. You got to go out there and put some effort in it. Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to give you anything. You got to go out there and get what you want. And you have to keep, there's so many successful people who are successful because they got rid of the negative people in their life. They got rid of the people who came around them to tell them they couldn't do it. They got rid of the people who laughed at them when they laughed at them, when they told them that they was trying to make something of themselves. They got rid of the people who were always hanging around trying to bring them down. You have to get rid of the negative people in your life, even if it's in your family, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. If they're not on your side, if they don't believe in you or what you do, you get rid of them and you continue on your journey to greatness. To greatness. You know, because I don't think there's nobody on God's earth, on this earth, who was born without talent. We all have talent. We all have something that we can give. We all have something that we can do. We just have to believe in ourselves. And we have to find others to believe in us also. I guess what I'm saying is, those who do not believe in your talents, get them out of your life. And you keep believing in your talents. Because if you believe in you, others are going to believe in you too. You have to first believe in yourself. And get all those other people who are laughing at you because you're saying that you want to make something of your life. Get rid of all those other people who are lying on you, who are not in your corner, who are telling you day after day that you can't do it, or what you're doing is insignificant, or what you're doing is not going to get you anywhere. But if you believe in your heart that those people are wrong, get away from them. And still pursue your dream. Because if you do not, they are going to hold you back. Negative people will hold you back from your dream. Negative people will hold you back from being great. You know, I've had too many people contact me on Facebook, contact me on the radio here, contact me on other sites saying that people in their own family are trying to discourage them from doing what they want to do. And I immediately tell them, hey, get away from them. Because if you don't, you're not going to get anywhere. If you got a husband or a boyfriend and you want to be a writer, and your husband or your boyfriend telling you, well, that's a nice hobby. That's not a hobby. Writing is tough. It's not a hobby. It's a hobby if you want to make it a hobby. But basically, for a lot of writers, writing is a business. Most writers who write, they want to make money. They want to make money. And when you're making money at something that you're doing, it's not a hobby. A hobby, and some people call what you do a hobby. They're just belittling you. That's all it is. It's a belittlement. It's something that you're doing because you're bored and you wanted something to keep you, you know, to keep you occupied. And they call it a hobby. And that's not true. You know, because find something you're good at, find something you're great at, find something that you think people need. Find out what your talent is and work on those things. Put some effort behind that. If people aren't with you, leave them behind. But it is so great when you have people. Let me put it this way. It is so great when you have people who support you, people in your corner. Somebody's there who's pushing you to be the best that you can be. It could be your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. Someone's pushing you to be the best that you can be. Those kinds of people you want to keep around. Someone who believes in your talent, believe in you, and going to, and they know that you want to make something out of yourself. So they're going to help you along in making something out of yourself because they see that potential and that talent within you. And that's great. And I'm pretty sure a lot of the players on the Chicago Cubs, the current players, they had a lot of help from their parents, from their relatives, you know, to get to where they are today. Because those parents saw in those little kids that they could be something great. And those kids knew they could be something great. And they are. They're the Chicago Cubs, and they're doing great. Hopefully they will win tonight and, you know, and go on to the World Series. But if not, you know, you can't put them down. I mean, we're going to have parades. We're going to have all kinds of celebrations once this playoff thing is over, whether they do the World Series or not. It's going to be fantastic. So, but however, we do wish they would win tonight and tomorrow and go on to the World Series. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. So you really can't be too, I think you really can't be too down about this because these guys have gave it a great run, if I can say it. How many teams win 100 games a year, baseball games? Not many. That is a milestone. That is a milestone. Even though the Cubs haven't won the World Series, I believe, in 108 years, that's a long damn time. So, we do want them to go to the World Series, but it doesn't. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. You know, and the same thing for you and people you know. If you want to be great, you got to work at it. You got to make some effort. You got to move. You got to get out there and do things. You got to get out there. You got to get out there and meet people. You know what I'm saying? Don't waste your time talking to people who can't do anything for you or people who can't push you further. You want to get out here to meet people who know people, that can help you towards your dream and your goal of wanting to be great. You know, I mean, you have to do that. I mean, you can't, if you want to be a great baseball player, you can't go out here and stand on the corner with thugs. That ain't going to get you nowhere because these guys are going to hold you back. You know, so if you want to be something great, you got to get out there. You got to make the effort to do it. And you can do it. Just find out what kind of talent you have. If it's playing baseball, if it's playing football, if it's being a writer, if it's taking care of our elderly people, find out what kind of talent you got and do what you love doing. If it's being a radio host or an actress or an actor, security guard. I mean, if you want to do something, do it. Do something great. And as you're doing something great, and once you reach your goal, then once you reach your goal of greatness of what you want to do, then you go back and you start to help others who want to reach their goal, who are being held back by negative voices, negative people. Go back and help them out. Write a book about it, you know. And I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a way of giving back. You know, it's a way of giving back, the way of trying to help people, because most people do that. If they make it in life, if they're successful and they've got all the money in the world and all the fame and everything, they'll go back and start helping other people who are coming up behind them, who need a hand up, so to speak. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Let's see, the Cubs. I just got through talking about the Cubs and their second shutout. Hopefully they can go to the World Series. All right. Okay, let's get back to talking about that third debate, that final debate that's coming up tonight, probably as soon as the radio show is over. And I will have commentary on it tomorrow, which is Thursday, October 20th, tomorrow. And the third debate on the national stage. And this will be the last time, when you think about it, this third debate will be the last time that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton will ever meet again on any stage. This is it. So as I've just got through saying earlier, Donald Trump needs this debate. He needs a win more than Hillary Clinton does. He needs this debate more than Hillary Clinton does. So it's pertinent that he win this thing and try to hopefully get back in this race, because Donald is not in this race. He's totally out of it with his polling numbers. So he needs something that's going to put him back on level footing with Clinton, because he's not. One of the things as Trump has got, let me see if we can find it. Trump has got, he's going to bring a lot of people to the debate, okay, as his guest. As he did in the second debate, he brought Hillary Clinton's accusers to the debate. He tried to get them out there in the outer box with his family, but the debate the people who put the debate on refused. So that didn't work out, but still they were there. And I just don't see why Trump brings these people to the debate. Now he's bringing some more people. I think he's bringing another Bill Clinton, some woman who said Bill Clinton touched her or something. And he's also bringing Barack Obama's half brother to the debate, because Barack Obama's half brother, he is supporting Donald Trump. So Donald Trump is bringing him as a guest. I don't know why Donald Trump is bringing these people in. They're not gonna change the dynamics of the race. They're not gonna change his polling numbers. I don't know why he goes and bring these people to the debate somehow. And then this is Barack Obama's brother, half brother. Now, Barack Obama is not running for president. His half brother is not running to be president. Why is he bringing these people to the debate that has no bearing on what's going on? I don't know. I guess he feels that he's trying to get at Hillary by bringing Barack Obama's half brother to the debate. I don't see where that has anything to do with anything. Bringing Hillary Clinton's husband's accusers to the second debate, I don't see what the hell that had on anything. I mean, it surely hell didn't do anything for his poll numbers. They went down, so it worked against him. So this might work against him. The thing about these debates, in case Donald Trump doesn't know, is to talk about issues, policies, things that's facing the American people, high taxes, issues, policies, high taxes, the economy, our military, and other issues, pertinent issues pertaining to the well-being of the United States. Donald Trump never, ever talked about issues. He attacks, he blasts, he lies, he creeps, and he just runs off and he just vomits at the mouth. Words come out of his mouth. Okay, so we're into that. So that should be, okay, third and final debate, Trump last shot. Yeah, this is his last shot on the national stage. So he has to go away or come away with an impression on the American people, the viewers. And I'm thinking there's going to be at least 80 million people watching, and or maybe more or close to that, you know, so because this is one heavily hype debate, because it's a debate where, like I just got through saying, these two people will never meet on a stage again in life. They may never cross each other's path again in life, you know, and that's saying no matter who wins. So this is a crucial debate. And also, as I've said, it's more crucial for Trump than Clinton, because Clinton is way ahead in the polls. Okay, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It is, what time is it? 7:12 straight up Chicago time. Okay, we're going to listen to a little bit of Keith Olbermann here. Okay.
Every few generations, we Americans are called upon to defend our country, to defend it not so much from foreign dictators or war or terrorism, but from those here who have no commitment to progress or democracy or representative government, no commitment to anything except their own out-of-control minds and the bottomless pits of their egos. Our society has thrown up these people before. Joseph McCarthy, George Wallace, Father Coughlin, Jefferson Davis, Aaron Burr, the Know-Nothings, the Blacklisters, the America Firsters. And we have always thrown them out. And now our generation has its own, the most dangerous individual ever nominated by a major party for the highest office in this country. His base wants few details and fewer facts. They just want to burn it down and blame their failures on the collective other. And Donald John Trump is their demonic messiah in Oompa Loompa's clothing. We must stop him. It is not pleasant. It is not fair that we have to do this, but it is our turn. The average report in this series will ask for about 6 minutes of your time. This one needs nearly three times as much. The text version includes more than 160 links. I encourage you to read and save, because the emperor's new clothes quality to the Trump campaign has survived these 15 months, because as we react to each outrage, our shock and revulsion has been refracted like light through a prism. But these outrages are not separate events, not even a pattern. They are simply Donald Trump. Seen all at once, they and he are horrifying, and you must see them all at once. Thus, in brief, the story so far. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who attacked the Pope, who attacked John McCain for being captured by the North Vietnamese, who attacked Gold Star parents, Khazir and Ghazala Khan, and then juxtaposed their names with the phrase radical Islamic terrorism, who attacked Hillary Clinton as a, quote, bigot, who attacked her as brainwashed, as unhinged, as a monster, as the devil, as the most corrupt candidate ever, showing her face on piles of $100 bills and the Star of David, who attacked her as someone who Second Amendment people should do something about, as someone whose religion we don't know anything about, after he had explained he had never asked God for forgiveness. who attacked President Obama and implied he was a traitor, who attacked him as having been complicit in the Orlando terrorist attack, who attacked him for having lower approval ratings than Vladimir Putin, as if Putin's approval ratings could somehow be trusted, who attacked him as being born in another country, who attacked him as the founder of ISIS, then said that was sarcasm, then said it wasn't sarcasm, then attacked him again as the founder of ISIS, who attacked Carly Fiorina for her face, Hillary Clinton for her non-presidential look, Heidi Cruz for her appearance, Megyn Kelly for having blood coming out of her wherever, Mika Brzezinski as crazy and very dumb, neurotic, not very bright, who attacked the women who accused Roger Ailes of harassment, who attacked the women who choose abortion, and who said there should be punishments, who attacked a New York Times reporter because he had a condition that made his arms look atypical, who attacked Judge Gonzalo Curiel because he was of Mexican descent, who attacked Senator Elizabeth Warren over allegedly lying over her heritage to get into Harvard when she never went to Harvard, who attacked Senator Jeff Flake by saying he will not be reelected this year when Senator Flake is not up for reelection until 2018. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who attacked U.S. troops in Iraq and claimed they stole millions, who has attacked Ted Cruz's father and claimed he was connected to the assassination of President Kennedy, attacked Bill Clinton and claimed he was a rapist, who attacked Mexicans as rapists, bringing drugs and crime, who attacked African Americans and claimed they were all living in poverty with no jobs and schools that were no good, who attacked Harrisburg, Pennsylvania as a war zone, and attacked the United States of America and claimed it is in a, quote, death spiral. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who lied about opposing the war in Iraq when there is a tape of him supporting it, a tape recorded on the first anniversary of 9/11, who lied about opposing the war in Iraq during a speech in which he insisted, I will never lie to you, who lied about $6 million in charitable donations to veterans groups from his telethon, who lied about donating his profits from The Apprentice, about charitable donations from The Celebrity Apprentice, from Trump the Game, and to St. Jude Cancer Center, who lied about a plan to debate Bernie Sanders for charity, who lied about why he would not release his taxes because he was being audited, and then proved himself a liar by saying he would release his taxes if Secretary Clinton released emails, who lied about how much money his father gave him, helping him to get out of college, who lied about sending his private jet to ferry stranded U.S. servicemen, who lied about talking to the Attorney General of Florida, who declined to investigate Trump University after she had been given a campaign donation, who lied about his business in Russia, who lied about meeting Russian President Putin, who lied about offering child care to his employees when it was child care for his hotel guests, who lied about some people wanting a moment of silence for the murderer of 5 Dallas policemen, who lied about seeing thousands of Muslims in New Jersey celebrating 9/11, who lied about 9/11 hijackers sending their wives and girlfriends home to Saudi Arabia, who lied about thousands of Syrian refugee terrorists being secretly admitted to this country, who lied about the Chicago police urging him to cancel a rally, who lied about the Chicago police saying they could solve crime there with tough police tactics, who lied about how there was no drought in California, how he never said Japan should have nuclear weapons, how he opposed the ouster of Egyptian President Mubarak, how the unemployment rate is 42%. Who lied about ISIS making millions a week in selling Libyan oil, who lied about dozens of secret terrorist cases in this country, who lied that a protester who tried to rush onto his stage had ties to ISIS, who lied last May and again last week about refugees entering this country carrying cell phones with ISIS flags on them and phone plans prepaid by ISIS. Can you hear me now? The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who congratulated himself in 2 tweets and a press release for predicting terrorist attacks like Orlando while bodies still lay in the...
All right. Thank you, Keith. It's always great to hear from you. But I want to cut in right now because I want to talk more about what do children think about the tone of all the debates, the last 2 debates. And there's been some reporters interviewing children, And most of the kids say they actually watched the debate, both of them. And they're disappointed in it, in those debates. The professors, their teachers also said that they were disappointed in the debate. You got two professional people, two high-profile people bullying, bashing. You got one candidate who says provocative things about women all the time over the last 30 or 40 years. And it's proven, it's on tape because he's been in the spotlight, Donald Trump. And a lot of the kids, children are turned off by this because we teach our children, we teach our kids not to be bullies. We teach our kids to respect adults. We teach our kids not to go to school and bully other children. And we don't want other children bullying our students. But when they turn on the television on the debates and they see overgrown people, 69, 70 years old, bullying each other, and as if they didn't give a damn about who's watching or didn't care, I mean, that has a profound effect on our children, I believe. It has a negative effect on the children. You know, because what kind of message is people like Donald Trump sending to our youth? It's okay to call women bitches. It's okay to say, I'm going to grab your pussy. It's okay to say, I'm going to kiss you without you even knowing or you even giving me the consent to do that. You know, and kids are listening to this. They hear this. They see it. And they're saying, wow. And of course, I don't think Hillary Clinton, I mean, with her baggage, or Donald Trump with his baggage, are good role models for our children. I don't. And some of the children do not think that they're good role models. And I don't think this bothers Trump at all. I think it may bother Hillary Clinton a little bit, but I know damn well it doesn't bother Trump at all. I mean, he's going to say what he's going to say. He doesn't care who listening. He doesn't care who it affects. He's just going to say what he's got to say because he feels that he's right and we ought to listen to him. You know, because he's Donald Trump and we're nobodies. So I do think there's a monumental effect on the children, and it's wrong. It is totally wrong. So I'm hoping tonight that when Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton get together to debate, that they do it in a civil way, a way where the kids, the children of America can watch and say, wow, this was great. This is what I want to do in life. That's who I want to be like. That's who I'm looking up to, because that's what kids need. That's what growing kids, they need someone to look up to. They need someone that they can go talk to and converse with, and they need someone they can feel comfortable around. This debate will probably tell them a little bit about that, or not. You know, if Donald Trump goes on tonight and becomes Donald Trump, it's all over. It's all over everywhere. Saturday Night Live, here we come. If he bees Donald Trump, or like I just got through saying, folks, Donald Trump has to make a major change in himself. Because Hillary really doesn't need this. Donald needs this. He has to not be Donald Trump and be a little bit better than Donald Trump. Because if Trump, like I just got through saying, if Trump starts being Donald Trump, it's all over. Here comes Alec Baldwin. And it's going to be all over. It's all about the children. It's all about the kids. And it's sad that the children are watching and paying attention to this, and the candidates seem as though they don't give a damn, or they're just oblivious to all of this, you know. So we're going to be watching it, and I will be back on the air tomorrow. I'm not going now. I think we got about six or seven more minutes left into the show. But, you know, I'm going to watch a debate, and I'm going to be back with a commentary. I'm going to be back with some news about it, and I'm going to be back with my own opinion on it all. And I hope you enjoy the debate tonight. And I want to say go Cubs, because they need it too. They need a win, just like Donald Trump needs a win. Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
and help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl. Heaven help us all.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah, I want to let me put it this way. I want you to make something of your life. I want you to make something of your life. You can be anything you want to be. Do not let age hold you back, because if you do, it will. I mean, for example, look at Bernie Sanders. I mean, 75 years old, and this guy's running for president. Running for president, and he would have won if the DMC wouldn't have, played games with him. You know, he would have won. We might be looking at Sanders right now instead of Clinton, because they were always saying that Bernie Sanders had a better shot than Hillary Clinton, and I was totally a Bernie Sanders guy. But he's 75 years old, and he was running for president, and he was almost there, and probably would have been there if it wasn't for Debbie Warren. I guess what I'm saying, folks, is don't let age stop you from being the best you can be. You can be 40, 50, 60, 70, 75 years old. You can make something of yourself. Don't let age stop you, and don't let negative people stop you. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for listening. Tune in tomorrow. I'm going to have commentary on the debate. And I love you. I love all of you out there. And I truly do, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be doing this. All right. I hope you join me tomorrow at the same time, 6 o'clock to 7:30, 8 o'clock, depends on what's going on. Bye-bye, everybody. Take care.